This is Robin Hayden. I used to live at Jasper's Green, Shelford, as many of you know. And I'm at the moment, I'm talking to my sister Audrey, who's in her 80th year at her home in Panfield Lane, Braintree. And she's going to try and remember some of the things that happened whilst she was on her post round in the Shelford area during the wartime. At this time, she was married to Jim Sparrow, and he was in the Air Force. And we'll talk about him later and various things that happened to him. And Audrey will try and recollect as best she can, especially the day that the fortress crashed in Shelford during the wartime. So, Audrey, I think the post round that you did was about 17 miles, wasn't it?
Well, it must have been, you see. I never ever had it tried out, but it must have been.
Well, where did you start and where did
well,
you go?
Well, I, you know, the where the we get the turkeys. What's the name of it? Hubbard's,
yes.
Isn't it? Yes, well, I started down where the Rawlinsons lived. That was my first
yes,
call.
Yes, I know. Yeah, the little stone cottage, yes.
That's right.
Just before you get to the Fox.
That's right.
Yes.
And then I had to go down...
So, first of all, though, where did you get your letters from?
Panfield.
They were sorted at Panfield.
Yes, I sorted them.
Yeah.
We had to sort our
you sorted
own.
Your own.
Yes.
Yeah. And then you cycled from Panfield Post Office.
Yes.
And started the round where Colin Rawlinson and his brothers and family
That's
lived.
Right.
Yes.
Yes. And then I had to go down to that farm where, before we got to the stocks.
Down there, belonging to Goodchild, where Andrew Overall
lived. That's right, yes. That was my next call.
I can't remember. Was that called, it wasn't Lone's Hall, was it?
No, I don't remember what
anyway,
it was
anyway, just past the village hall, before you get to Highfield Hill.
That's right.
Turn left and go down there, yes?
Yes, well then I had to turn round there and come back and then go down the hill.
Down Highfield Hill, yes.
No.
No?
No, not Highfield Hill. I had to come back round by the village hall and then go down that hill where the council houses are.
Yeah, by the sandpits.
That's right.
Yes.
And that was when I was going down there when I heard this terrible bang.
Yes.
And I didn't see it. I just heard it.
You didn't see the fortress?
Not for a few minutes,
no.
I didn't, no, because I was going down the hill.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden I see smoke coming out of the left-hand wing.
So when you heard the bang, you actually, the fortress was still in the air?
It was still quite a bit in the air, yes.
So there was obviously some explosion in the
air.
That's
right, yes.
Yeah.
And there wasn't many houses there. Well, I mean, the people were all gone.
No, there was no Cliffield and none of the other side, was
there?
No,
that's right. And I could see these parachutes coming down.
Yes.
And I thought, whatever's happened? So I was down there and going down to where Andrew Ogle lives now, I think.
Yes. Yeah, down past Redmond's farm.
That's right.
Yes.
And... one or two of them were a bit further back, but there was one young fella, he got down, and I dropped my post bag and I ran along the field to see if he was all right, because he didn't get up.
Was that down somewhere near where Ledgerton lived?
Yes, that was right opposite, because that's where they come back in when they all
so
got
this
together.
Was the opposite side of the road to where Mr. Ledgerton lived?
That's right.
Yeah, so they were nearer to where you go up that long lane to that farm.
That's
on the
right,
road.
Yes. Yeah. And he called out...
By this mean, can I break in here?
Yeah.
By this time, had you actually seen the aeroplane come down or heard the crash?
No, I hadn't heard that because I was getting away from it.
Yeah, yeah.
And he called, he said, I'm all right. He said, I've just hurt me foot, or me ankle, rather. And I said, all right, so I come back. And when I got up the road a little bit, there's a woman in a house there. She always had me a cup of tea ready when I got there because I had papers to drop for her.
Yes.
And then I come back and they were all standing there, and the one that I was going to help if I had to, he came over to me, and I think he must have had a stick from Mr. whatever his name was that lived there, Ledgerton.
Yes. Yeah.
And and he said, thank you very much for trying to help me. But he said, I'm all right. He said, in fact, we're all right.
Yeah. But unbeknown to him at this time and to you, the rear gunner was still in the aeroplane.
He must have been.
And actually did get killed.
Well, I haven't heard any more about that. But that
where were these people when you came back? Because you went to that farm up to the left, didn't you? I don't know, I can't remember the name. The one up the long lane, didn't
that's
you?
That's right, yeah.
So when you came back, were they in Ledgerton's Gateway?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
And he said that they were all right?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, and what happened to him?
He walked or hopped a bit over to me.
Apparently he'd broken his ankle.
Probably, I don't know.
Well, that's what the history says.
That's right. Yeah. Well, then I've done all my work then for that part of the place. So when I got up to where the aeroplane was, there was a big man standing there with his arms out. He said, "I'm sorry, you can't come down unless I go down with you."
Somebody from the airfield?
I suppose it was one of the. It might have been. I don't know. But he was in a uniform.
Well, in an American
uniform.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But because you see, while I was doing all my work, they were bringing people there, weren't they?
Yeah. So they can't, because the aeroplane came from Ridgewell.
Yes.
Ridgewell Airfield. Yes, so I suppose by then somebody came up from Ridgewell.
Because they were going to pick the men up. He told me, he said, "We're waiting for our truck." That's what he called it.
Yeah.
And.
And there were still bombs in that aeroplane.
That's what he said to me. He said, "I can't let you go down there," he said, "because the bombs are still in the car, in the aeroplane.
In the wreck, yeah."
And he said, "How far is it down there?" I said, "Well, only two or three houses." And I said, "I don't come back this way."
Did you have to cross the river on the round?
No, there was a white house I had to go to.
You had to
go down as far as
that lady where you went through that footpath down.
That's right.
I can't remember her name for a minute. No. She was an amateur operatic singer, wasn't she?
I don't know what she was.
You know, there was two or three cottages where in later years Tony Baker lived there. The little cottage is right beside the river. Because it was just across the crash was just across the river.
Yeah,
from there,
I didn't have to go across the river. You see, but my
you didn't go to Rotten End.
No. My fit were.
Were those cottages just before you get to the river?
Yeah, that's right.
So
the crash was just over the other
back of those, wasn't it?
What, the crash?
Yeah.
No, they were right up near where them two reservoirs are now.
That was nearer up there?
That was nearer up there, yeah.
Yeah.
And.
But it was still the other side of the river, though, wasn't
it? No, it wasn't.
No?
No.
It was this side of the river?
It was this side of the river, more or less where those two. Now they've put another reservoir in there.
Yeah.
That was about there. I mean, of course, that was.
So they stopped you from going down Waterhall Lane?
That's right. Well, he asked me, he said, how long.
Well, when you normally did your round, you went down Waterhall Lane, then where did you go?
Yeah, I went across the field.
Across that cart path?
Yes.
Down to Ironbridge Lane?
That's right.
Yeah.
And I still had to go down there. So I wasn't going to be any more nearer to the aeroplane.
No.
That's what he wanted to know. And he asked me, he said, I can't remember what he called his hat. You know, the tin hats.
Yeah.
He said, "Have you got one?" But he didn't call mine a tin hat, you see. So I said, yes. He said, "Well, would you please have it on tomorrow?"
Yeah.
He said, "Because we should be here a day or two."
Yeah.
And I did. I took it with me, but I didn't put it on till I got there.
No, so you cross that that cart track that goes between there and Ironbridge Lane.
That's right. And then I come out at the bottom.
You come out where Andrew Goodchild lived.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then I went up to Codham Hall, is it called?
You went over the river then, over the Humpback Bridge, what was there then.
That's right.
And then up to Codham Hall.
Yeah. And then I went up to the last farm in Beasley End.
Did you go up to right up that drive by the sandpit?
No, I didn't. Well, I didn't go up there. I didn't have to go up there. But I had to give those two houses. I had to go to those two houses what were just inside the gate, and I had to go to the man in the sandpit. In the office.
But you didn't get up to the farm right up the end of that lane?
No, I didn't have to go up there. I don't know how he got his letters, but I didn't have to go up there.
Did you have to go up to those bungalows by the side of the sandpit lane?
Yeah, I had to go to them. They were on the left-hand side.
Did you go up as far as the first pub? The one that's no longer a pub, the one, I forget what it was called.
I went right up past there.
You went up to the Cock of Easley end?
Yes, I went further along to the last house right on that nasty bend, and that was where my job there finished.
That's the, near that lane that goes back down to Shelford.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah?
That's right.
Back down to Rotten End.
Yeah, that's right. That's the
and that was the last house on the round.
Yes, on my round.
But you didn't have to go down to Rotten End itself?
No.
No.
No, I didn't. But I'd got a few more things to do. I had to go right up that long hill where one of the Whiteheads lived at the bottom.
George.
Yeah. I had to go right up that farm up there.
Yeah.
And that was my last letters.
That was the last call.
That's right. Yes. Yeah.
Going back to the crash, is there anything else you can remember about that? When you cycled back past it, when the bloke stopped you in the road, can you remember, like, seeing the... anybody around near the crash or the smoke?
No.
Because apparently Albert Tarbin was working in the next field and he tried to get the rear gunner out.
Did he?
You don't remember seeing Albert about anywhere?
No.
No.
But I did see like a big backpack, would you call it? A lovely new one that looked like. Like you could carry it kind of thing. That laid there. I see the...
Well, beside the road?
No. It was in still in the field.
In the field, yeah.
Yeah.
There, where that, there used to be a pond there with an oak tree, didn't there?
That's right.
Because there was two Americans after the war got killed. They slid down the hill on the ice and hit that oak tree in their car.
Cool.
Because there was a pond. Where that reservoir is now, there was a pond, wasn't
there? Yes, there was, yeah.
So what else can you remember about the day of that crash?
Well, Mrs. Bantock, she began to wonder if she ought to send somebody out after me because I was so far behind with what I was doing.
On the round,
On the round, yes.
Yeah.
And she said I ought to write a book about all the different things that happened to me. So I said, oh, I don't think I will.
Well, time goes on. You keep saying you're going to do these things and you never get round to it.
But the post office at Shelford was down where your man just died a few years back.
Arthur Grubb?
No, further up than that. A bit further up than that. He was worked for Tanner, I think. You went to his funeral. And now his wife has died, hasn't she?
Who was that then?
Can't think of his name, but he was in one of those long houses, right on your right hand side.
Going right back, Arthur Grubb's mother ran the post office, didn't she?
Yes, just but down it past was long Tanner's after that.
Yard.
So, long after that.
So where did the post office go from there?
It was up on the right hand side of this long. We know where that road goes into those houses or bungalows. Just on the bend before you go down that way.
Past the George?
Yes, a lot, quite a bit past the George.
Well, when you get past the George, you go to that sharp bend that goes down Wethersfield Mill Hill, don't you?
That's right. Well, there's a long row of houses.
Yeah, near Eric Stiles.
That was Eric Stiles.
Did Eric Stiles run the post office?
His wife.
Oh, yes, I believe she did.
Yes, his wife.
Right opposite where the Tarbins all did.
That's right.
Yeah. Ah, yes.
Yeah, so, that's where it was,
Stiles ran it, did she?
Yeah.
That's after right. Arthur Grubb's mother had it.
Oh, no, they had it, surely, up the top.
Well, then after that, after Mrs. Stiles had it, didn't they have it in a wooden shed?
Miss Glazier. Yeah.
They had that in a wooden shed somewhere near where the last bungalow is before you get to the village hall.
That's right.
Somewhere near where the telephone exchange is, somewhere there. They had it in a wooden shed, didn't they?
That's right, yeah.
Because didn't you run the post office there for a time?
I did for 3 or 4 weeks, yeah.
While she was away?
Yes.
Yeah?
Well, she wasn't well, she was away, but she wasn't holiday making, she was ill.
So you ran the post office there, and at one time, didn't you relieve at Panfield post office or somewhere?
Yes, I've done that as well.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah? In the days before all these computers?
That's right, yeah.
So what else can you remember about doing the post round or working or helping in the post office round about that time? I mean, they're not worried too much about the dates of the crash because they've got all that down anyway, so they know what day it was, what time it happened. Yes. So they're not worried about the dates. They just want to know the various things that happened, you see. And it turns out, apparently, that the co-pilot, who was the most senior airman aboard the aeroplane, was really the senior person in the aeroplane, but he wasn't piloting the plane. And it turns out, apparently, that this co-pilot is now a Hollywood producer and made some quite famous films, apparently.
Oh.
And they've traced him in America.
Mm-hmm.
And from what Bernard tells me, there might be a film made of it.
Oh.
Something to do with it. And that's why they're trying to get all the information they can. Yeah. But, I mean, it's a long time ago. Even if you was a young person today, it's a long time to try and remember, let alone if you're 80. So, you know, what other little snippets can you remember that might be of some use to them?
Well, I don't really know.
You don't remember seeing any of the crew taken away by their authorities?
No, I didn't see them, no. They were all waiting.
But you did see them parachuting out?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
And I was going over that field to Corby's house.
Oh, I know.
And I said to him, I said, have you seen them aeroplanes, those men coming down in
parachutes.
He said no. I said, well, I said there's quite a few of them. I said that. He said, I heard a bang. He said, but I didn't know what it was.
Well, Corby's was across that field, sort of behind what is
now houses, isn't it?
That estate. Now, what estate is that one? Because it's Cliffield, the other side.
Yes.
Barryfields. That's called Barryfields, I think.
Is that?
Yeah.
I don't know that.
So that bungalow was quite an isolated bungalow across that
field,
wasn't it?
Oh, it was, yes.
And then,
he sold tea, didn't he?
And then the bloke, what was his name, Turner, lived in a house down beyond the cart track from that bungalow, didn't he? Near the wood. He used to grow seeds during the war.
No, I don't remember.
Was his name Turner?
No, I don't remember that bit.
Bob Turner. You must remember Bob Turner, surely. He went in the lane opposite George.
Yes, I know who you're talking about now. Didn't he come to live at Panfield in a bungalow on the corner or somewhere like that?
No, that was Fred Turner.
Oh, that's Fred Turner.
Yeah. Bob Turner was a much older man than Fred.
Because
Fred died last year. He was about 84 or 85.
Yeah.
Mm. But Bob Turner used to have a small holding as you go up to the Corbys.
No, I just don't remember him, I don't think. No.
But you don't remember talking...
I used to have my eye on the animals that was in the field.
Yeah. You don't remember anybody else being about that morning of the crash that might have spoke to you on the round or anything?
No, I don't think so. Because you see that... A lot of the young people had gone to the war, hadn't
they? That's right, yeah.
You see, so there wasn't many people about. And there was no cars or anything like that,
no,
you see.
No, there wasn't, no.
No.
What was I going to say? When you went across what was the name of that lane? That where Mr. Ledgerton's place was?
I can't remember.
Where you saw the crew? The night, well, it was at the two houses on the junction where you go up to that farm where you used to have a cup of tea.
No, that was past there. That was past I'd run down there after this man, this flyer, and he was all right. And I come back out again, and I went on to that woman
up to that farm.
After that's got a name, yes, and the farm comes next. So I had to go right up there.
So you go right up that farm, but when you go up to that farm, there's a pair of cottages
there.
That's
right, they're the ones.
Is that the one where you used to have a
cup of tea? Always, she'd always got it
ready. Well, who was that then?
I can't think of her name now, it's long gone.
No.
But I told her there was a crash down there, you see.
Yeah.
While I was drinking my tea, and oh dear, she said, is anybody dead? I said, that I can't tell you.
So when you went
That bit.
When you went up that road, you only saw one flyer.
Yeah, well, I see all the others before I got to there.
And that sounds as if that could have been the co-pilot. But when you went back, they were all, like, in the gateway.
Yeah, they were waiting. I suppose Mr. What's his name? Mr.
Ledgerton
had, you know, called up for a truck.
Yeah. And by then, by the time you come back up towards Shelford Village, then the authorities were there guarding the aeroplane and guarding
the
road.
That's right.
Yeah.
I wonder what he was doing when he put his arms out like that and he said, stop, please.
Because there wouldn't have been a lot of traffic for him to stop anyway.
No,
but he let you go by eventually.
Well, he come down with me as far as the first house.
Yeah. And then you cut across that car path down to Iron Bridge.
That's right.
Well, I'll stop it there for a few minutes and then see what else you might be able to tell us. Right, I'm now going to talk to Audrey about the jobs that she had when she left school and about where our parents lived. And she will take up the story when our parents lived at the Priory Chase at Panfield, and my father worked at that time for George Newman. And Audrey will, as far as she can remember, will tell you my father from there started to work for himself because he got fed up with walking behind a plough. And the rest of his life he was a thatcher, sheep shearer and hurdle and cattle crib maker. But tell us, Audrey, when you left school, where you started work.
I started work at Cordall's Mill down at
Rose Hill,
yes. And then I went on to the war was all talked about. And I come out because I couldn't get on with a job. And I went down to Bochum. And I went down there. That's Cordall's as well. And I didn't stop there long because I didn't like the woman who ran it. So I left that. And then I went to Braintree. And I worked in a sweet shop. And I didn't care too much about...
That was Mrs. Leverell, wasn't it?
Mrs. Leverell, yes.
In Rain Road.
That's right. And... I didn't want to do washing up for breakfast things that people left behind when I was in there for selling sweets. Then I went down to, what's the name?
The co-op?
I went to the, can't remember the name of it now.
Where was that?
Where I met Jib.
Oh, international stores.
International stores, yes, where I met my husband.
That was Jim Sparrow.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
And then I went to another one down at Coggeshall Road, which was the co-op. And then, what did I do after that? I can't remember.
So you went to the co-op down in Coggeshall Road.
Yes, right.
I remember the co-op being there. It's either East Street or Albert Road, which is, I think, Domino's now, the Pierster people.
Mm-hmm.
So did you go from there to the post round at Shelford?
I think so, yes.
Yeah.
I've been very ill and been in hospital, and then I went there because Mr. Barber had left it. And
Dan Barber's father, who used to live down the lane past Jasper Green.
And he took me round the first morning to show me how I had to do it. And, that was very nice. I liked it, I enjoyed it. And I was sorry I had to leave it. But there it is.
But you say you met your Jim at the international stores.
That's
he must have got called up to the Air Force then.
Yeah, well, he volunteered. He had a V on his shoulder, if you remember.
Yeah.
That was on all the time. Yes.
So he went into the Air Force and you got married while he was actually in the Air
Force. Yes, that's right.
But do I remember that he started off as a PT instructor in the Air Force?
He did, yes.
And then didn't he have to go and retrain as an engineer of some kind?
That's right, yes.
And wasn't he on an airfield... In Belgium,
mm-hmm.
when his sister was injured in the rocket attack on Hoffman's in Chelmsford.
That's right.
And he was injured. He was in the actual airplane when it was shot up, wasn't he?
That's right.
And running to the trenches, am I right in saying that he got shrapnel on his legs.
Yes.
Running into the trench. So he got actually injured coming home to see his sister.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I seem to remember something talk about it, that many years later you've got shrapnel out of his legs.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
I got some leather out of his heel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it out of his heel. He come home limping.
Yeah.
And I think that's what killed him, actually.
Well, eventually.
Yeah.
But didn't he have a heart attack at work?
He did, but I should think that was some of that, what do you call it?
The shrapnel.
Shrapnel, yeah.
Yeah, could have done it, and, you know, think these things do
happen.
Yes,
well, that travels about, doesn't it?
What, tell me something about the early life when our father lived at Priory Close at Panfield and worked for George Newman. I think you went to Panfield School, and did Ken go to Panfield School as well?
Yes, he had I think about a year there, and then we moved.
Yeah. And the oldest sister, who died when she was about 7, would she have moved from Priory, or would she have died while...
She died at the Priory.
She died while you were still living at the Priory?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And Father worked for Newman as a horse ploughman. And what did you say? He got fed up with walking behind a plough.
Yeah.
And he taught himself, or someone taught
well,
him
he
to
taught,
thatch?
He taught himself how to do roofs on houses after he'd done stacks.
Yes. And so he started up about that time. That would be before the war, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes, a long time before the war.
What, in the early 30s or before then?
Oh, I should think that was... Well, I was born in 1920, and I was 10 when we moved.
So he would have started up on his own somewhere around about 1930.
Yeah.
Doing thatching and making cattle cribs and mangers and sheep shearing.
Oh, yes.
Which he'd more or less taught himself to do in the first instance.
That's right.
Yeah. Because I suppose working on the farm, they were glad of a local worker to actually do the stacks and things, so they were quite happy for someone to learn to do it.
Yes.
So what happened then? You moved from, I think you said something about going home from school in the summertime.
Going home from school in the summertime, and, you know, where everything was dry, walk through the churchyard and come out into the field and the cart track, and I used to go round past the farm and down the lane.
Priory Farm, yeah.
But when the wheat and that had gone, I could go across the field
across
before
the
they ploughed
the
it, yes.
Yeah.
And I was the only one that was living down that way that went to school, you see.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, well, Ken came after a little while.
So then, Father moved from there to those old cottages.
Well, he had to come out, you see.
Yeah, because he'd started working. He didn't work on the farm anymore.
No, that's right.
And didn't Traff Woolard, who lived at Shearing Hall, own those two old cottages in Jasper Screen, where he moved to?
He
moved to the two old cottages, which were pulled down later years, and the Bradleys live in now a new house built on the site. Don't they?
Yes, yes.
So he moved. He must have moved to there, because I can vaguely remember as very youngsters either seeing it or seeing a picture of a little notice in the garden, Thatcher.
Yes, that's right, on the apple tree.
On the apple tree.
Pear tree,
yes.
Pear tree.
Were they called pear tree cottages?
Pear tree cottages.
Yeah, well, from what I can understand, they belonged to Traff Woolard, who used to be the farmer at Shearing Hall. Father and his friend who owned the sawmill just down here in Panfield Lane, Bob Oliver, I think they used to go shooting rabbits on Trafford's land.
On Saturday.
That's right. And he said to him, well, Charlie, if you've got to move out, I've got a pair of old cottages at Jasper's Green, you can have one of them.
Mm.
And from there, I think Father bought that field off of Mr. Palmer, didn't he?
That's right.
And had the little old bungalow built on that 5 acres.
Yeah.
So what else can you remember about that?
I can't remember much about that. any more than you've just said, I don't think.
Well, I can remember during the war, I wasn't very old, but I can remember Dad making loads of cattle cribs and things and mangers Rodney McGregor from Rain.
Yes.
Because I remember this great car with these great big headlights that Mr. McGregor used to come round with.
Yeah.
And I used to think, oh, that's a nice car. He used to do that in the winter time when you couldn't do any thatching.
That's right.
And then I believe I'm right in saying, because I wasn't very old, that him and Ken used to go away a week or fortnight at a time, sheep shearing during the season, and not come home. Used that's to right. sleep in the barn, I think.
That's
didn't
right,
they?
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in later years, obviously, he ran a little small holding with an odd field or two here and there that he used to farm, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
But when you moved to Jasper's Green, to Pear Tree Cottages, did you then go to Shelford School?
Yes, we did. Yeah, because he didn't want to go. Ken didn't want to go. He said, no, I'm going to Panfield School.
But there wouldn't have been a lot of difference in the distance, I suppose. Not really. And was Mrs. Porter the teacher there then?
Yes, she was. Yes.
She was when I went and all.
Was she?
She must have been a teacher there for a long time. I don't know how long, but I should think close on 50 years.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think the teacher's anywhere as strict now as what she was.
She was very strict.
And there used to be a young teacher, Miss Thorogood.
Yeah, and another one, Ivy Candler.
Candler, yeah, well, she lived, didn't she live...
She lived in Rain Row for a long time.
Yeah, but didn't she live in Shelford at the time, the Candlers?
Yes, they did.
I seem to remember some Candlers living in Shelford.
Yeah, well, they lived... you know, the houses where the Rawlinsons lived were straight along the road, weren't
yes.
they? Well, then there was a pair.
Oh, they lived in that one Mways, just near the Fox.
Right.
Yeah, where I think either the Assistant Constable of Essex or the Chief Constable of Essex has recently lived.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember, because I remember Tom Candler. Was it her father?
I would imagine so, yeah. Yes. Yes.
Because I can only just vaguely remember some of these old boys. Well, I remember Miss Thorogood. She was Mrs. Claydon in later years.
Yes.
And I don't know whether she's still alive, but for a long time I've seen her in Braintree.
Have you really?
And she remembered who I was and all. Mm. I mean, it's a long time since I went to Shelford School, but
yes.
she remembered who I was. But I haven't seen her about for a long time. So whether she's still alive or not, I couldn't
say.
Well,
she must be, because I'm 80.
Yeah, well, she would be older than you, I would have thought.
Well, a lot older than me.
Yeah, yeah.
If she was alive.
Mm. Well, she lived in those flats up Chapel Hill.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Mm. So what else can you remember about Shelford in the before the war or during the war or what have you?
Well, I worked at Mrs. Stevenson's.
That's in a lot later times, though, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. Now, do I vaguely remember you telling me a long time ago, because the river down at Codham used to flood all the time during the wartime, and they only had this humpback bridge, and the road was very low.
Oh, yes, yes.
And I've seen sand lorries in there with the water coming over the roof. Now, am I right in saying that you used to have to deliver letters to Codham, and the army had Codham Hall,
yeah.
and they used to come and get you through the water, didn't
That's
they?
That's right, yeah.
Could you put your bicycle in the back of a
yes,
big truck?
Yes, that's right. Then I come back down through Bocken to come back home again.
Yeah, that's a long way round then.
Well, it was, yeah. But that was only when there was a flood, because you could walk or ride your bike on that bridge.
One of the things I remember towards the end of the war is that rocket that fell on the land.
Oh, yes.
Just behind, is it Cut Hedge House?
Yeah.
Just over the brow of the hill there and down towards the river.
That's right, yeah.
I remember that landing somewhere around about 4:30 on a Saturday afternoon.
That was a rocket, wasn't it?
Yeah, because Bob Parton and I got on our bicycles and went down there to see what it was all about.
Mm, what a great big hole that was.
Yeah, all we could see was a hole.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the first bomb that I can remember dropping during the war was you go in past where Mr. Byford used to live, going towards Panfield, take that cart path as if you're going over to the Priory.
Yeah.
And there's some little woods over there, or I forget what they're called now, they've got a name.
Mm.
And on the Sunday evening, people were walking across there to have a look, and the holes were in the wood.
Mm.
And someone said they thought that there was a fire there because there was a charcoal burner in the wood. And the aeroplane might have thought it was a factory or something, with smoke coming out the chimney, and dropped a bomb there.
Yeah.
And I remember there was a collection there for the St. John's ambulance, because there were a lot of people went and had a look.
Yeah.
You don't remember that?
No, I don't. No.
Well, you were probably living in Braintree then, you see.
I was living in Braintree, yeah. I used to go to work with L.B. Dawson.
He got killed during the war, didn't he?
Well, he come down. I don't know what happened to him. Nobody ever found him.
Yeah.
But he was in the RAF just the same.
It was a long time ago.
It was.
Any other memories you can have during the wartime or in the Shelford area?
Well, not a lot, really.
Either family or other people who lived in the village or
no.
Things that happened?
Well, when I went to live in Braintree, you see, a lot of people were moving about. Like
that's right. And you lost touch.
Yeah. Oh, I used to go turkey
plucking for Christmas. That was a long time afterwards, you see. Long time after the war.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's about all you can really tell us, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Unless you can think of anything else?
No, I can't, I'm afraid.
And I'll pass these comments on to Bernard, and then maybe he can edit out what he wants to find interesting or what he doesn't, and see how he gets on. It'd be a funny thing if the co-pilot comes over here and sees you, see if he remembered you stopping on the post round.
Oh, I shouldn't think so.
Well, they might do. Well, they might.
Well, yeah. If they think about their war.
That's right.
Things, you know.
They could easily do. Anyway, I'll switch it off there.
There's a lot of talking going on there, so, you know, it should be interesting.